Morning. Today's daf and zvachim is lamed. We start today in the Gemara in Chavtes Amud Beis. We are right before the Mishnah. It's just one little stop before the Mishnah. Achirim Omrim at the two dots, and we are coming off of a brisa yesterday. And honestly, we've been coming off of a 2-day venture in terms of just understanding the psukim. Here's what we know. We learned this back in the Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. And the idea behind Pigel is that when a Kohen does one of the Dal Avodos and he has the Machshav of Chutzos Mano, where he considers that he's going to eat the carbon or the Mizbech is going to consume the carbon beyond its prescribed time, under those circumstances, we have what's called Pigel. And the Pigel, the terminology I gave it is Pigel Major. You don't have to love the terminology. It's whatever. It's whatever. But in other words, Pigel Major, meaning that the carbon now is rejected through this classification of pigel, and the consumption of the carbon will result in an onish karis, a punishment of karis. If the Kohen has a similar machshav of but rather chutzim kamo, where he plans on consuming the carbon outside of its prescribed location, so that is also pigel, but that's pigel minor. The carbon is going to be rejected, but the punishment for eating such a carbon is not going to be karis. It'll be seemingly just a lav, but it won't be a chiv karis. That's the setup of the halachas of pigel, and what we've really been doing for the last couple of days is trying to locate in the psukim where exactly we find all this. It was a bit of an ordeal throughout the Gemara. There were various opinions amongst the Amorim exactly how to extract the halacha from the psukim, and so if you'd like a good review of the last couple of days, I strongly encourage go over the Gemaras again and again. It really does help reviewing the Gemara. I find that just with the more repetition of the Gemara, the more I understand it. Seemingly, the Gemara quoted a Braisa yesterday, and the Braisa also dealt with the issue, and not as clearly as the Amoraim. The Amoraim clearly wanted to get from how do we get from the pasuk to the halacha. The Amoraim, the Tanaim, are dealing with a similar issue. But the Tanaim were really more vexed with the issue of how do I know that the pasuk itself is talking about machshava, meaning the pasuk opens up with im he'achol ye'achel mibisar zevach shlamav, and that the pasuk seems to be talking about consuming the carbon and not having an intention while doing the avodah. So the Tanaim were dealing with how do I know the pasuk's not talking about intention? Sorry, how do I know the pasuk's not talking about consumption? How do I know that the pasuk's talking about intention? And on that, there were in the Braisa no less than 4 different opinions: Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, Ben Azai, Acherim. So there were various opinions amongst the Tanaim exactly how to read and understand the pasuk. Of the last opinion that we saw together in the Braisa was the opinion of the Acherim. Acherim Omrim beMachshavu Nifsa veEinu Nifsa b'Shlishi. In other words, by virtue of the fact that the Torah says Lo Yechashev, so that's an indication that's talking about Machshav. It's not talking about Achila. Fine. Rabbi Eliezer lo yichashim ma'avilei. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to the Gemara. We're on Chav Tes Amud Beis, and we're at that section right before the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer clearly didn't learn it out from the pasuk v'lo yichashev. Clearly, Rabbi Eliezer already had that phrase dedicated for something else. What else did he have it dedicated for? So the Gemara goes on to explain. He needs it to teach a halacha of Rabbi Yanai da'am Rabbi Yanai minayin. How do I know? How do I know that a machshava can, so to say, compete with one another, bombard one another, and basically upset one another? Now, we saw this idea already yesterday, that if I have multiple machshavas in the course of doing the avodah, when I say I really mean the Kohen. If a Kohen has multiple machshavas while doing the avodah, so how do I know now that they're going to bombard one another, and therefore pigel will not materialize? Shenema lo yichashev, lo ye'arev bo machshavas acheras. That you're not allowed to mix various machshavas together. In other words, in order for it to be pigel, it has to be undiluted pigel, meaning it has to be only exclusively one machshava and not multiple machshavas. V'Rav Mari Masnei Amar Rabbi Yana Minala Machash Be Makashim Shu Loke. How do I know that having machshava with a carbon is subject to malchus? Meaning Rav Mari teaches it a little bit differently in that. You know what you learn out from the pasuk of lo yechashev? That you're going to get malchus. Meaning for having the machshav, you're going to get malchus. Tam lamar lo yechashev. The pasuk says lo yechashev, meaning it's a lav. Now the Gemara says, wait 1 second, it's a lav? Okay, it's a lav, that I agree with. But it's a lav shem b'maisa, and the Gemara asks that question. Amle revash le ramari lav shem b'maisa, v'chul lav shem b'maisa, and lokan a lav. We know the rule, we saw it many times throughout Shas. Recently we saw it back in the beginning of malchus, and that is you don't get malchus for a lav that doesn't have a physical action. If it's just a lav with the verbalization, like this lav over here, so it's not subject to malchus. So Amar Leih, so he says to him, Rabbi Yehuda, the author of the Brice is Rabbi Yehuda, he subscribes to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Da'am Alav Shem B'maisa Lokan Alav, meaning we know that the Rishita is Rabbi Yehuda, and when Rabbi Eliezer says that you're going to get Malkus for Lo Yechashev, he's working within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, since Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you are going to get Malkus even for Alav Shem B'maisa, so too over here, you're going to get Malkus for Alav Shem B'maisa. Adkan. Okay, that ends the sugya, and we start the Mishnah. We're on Chav Tes Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud, and we're beginning the Mishnah. The Mishnah here gives us the rules. Zaklal, kol shochet v'hamakabel v'hamahalech v'hazorek lechol davar shadarko lechol ulahakter davar shadarko lahakter. When doing any one of the four avodas, which is either to shecht or to accept the blood or to walk the blood over to the mizbech or to sprinkle the blood on the mizbech with an intent to eat something that is normally eaten, or to burn something that's normally burned, kizayis chutz limkamo, pasul ve'im bo karis. And it has to be the amount of a kizayis, and his intention is to eat it outside of its prescribed place, so the carbon now becomes disqualified, but there's no karis for consuming such a carbon, chutz zmano, if he plans on eating it beyond its prescribed time, pigol ve'chayev and olav karis. So this is what we were referred to as pigol major, meaning this is typical pigul, and as a result of that, eating it from it will result in the karis prohibition. Uvilvad shiakrav amatzah kemitzvaso. With the following proviso, again, we saw this in yesterday's daf as well, but we saw it given to us by Rava. Now we're seeing it together in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, but all the avodas have to be performed. Meaning, in order for pigul to materialize, you need all the avodas to be concluded. So let's say he had the machshava pigul during shechita. So even though now the animal is set up to become mispagel, but pigul only materializes when then the rest of the avodas are performed. Meaning if the other avodas are not performed, the animal is not formally pigul. Pigul only occurs when you do all of the avodas correctly with the intention of pigul. Ketzad. And the Mishnah says, let's illustrate this. Karav amatu kemitzvaso. Shachat b'shtika. Let's say you shech the animal b'shtika quietly. Quietly, just in this context, just simply means with no bad intent. And then kibbol v'halach v'zarek chutzas mano. And then you accepted the blood, and you walk the blood, and you sprinkle the blood chutzas mano. And seemingly, the mission does not mean that you have to do the rest of the three activities with a machshav of pigol. It just simply means that if I do one of these activities with a machshav of pigol, specifically chutzas mano, sheshachal chutzas mano. Or the Mishnah says the converse would also work as well. The inverse would work as well. Let's say you shechted the carbon with a machshav v'chutzas mano, and then you do the rest of the avodas, v'kibol, v'halach, v'zarek, v'shtika, and you do the other three avodas in silence, simply meaning with no machshav v'pigol. Oh, sheshechted v'kibol, v'halach, v'zarek, chutzas mano. Or if I do any of the avodas, chutzas mano, zehu shebakrif hamatzah kemitzvaso. So this is an example now where pigul will materialize because you did all the avodas, and you did all the avodas correctly, albeit, of course, that you had a machshava of chutzas mano during one of the avodas, but because you did all the rest of the avodas correctly, so therefore now it's subject to pigul. Ketzad lo karav amatu kemitzvaso. Let's give an example where pigul will not materialize. For example, shachat chutzim kama. Let's say you shech the carbon, but you do so with a machshava of chutzim kama. Kibo v'halach v'zar chutzas mano. And then you do a subsequent avoda with a machshava of chutzas mano. Oh, or let's say sheshachar chutzas mano, kibo v'halach v'zar chutzim kama. Your first avoda of shechita you did with a machshava chutzas mano. The subsequent avodas you did chutzim kama. Oh, sheshachar v'kibo v'halach v'zar chutzim kama. And ha'pesach v'achatzah sheshachtum shelo l'shman. So let's say I shecht the carbon and collected the blood and walked it and did the zrika with a machshava chutzas mano. And it's a carbon pesach or carbon chatas, where I also shech the shalol shman, v'kibo v'halach v'zar chutzas mano, and in conjunction with that, I also did an avoda, a subsequent avoda with chutzas mano, sheshach chutzas mano, and kibo v'halach v'zar shalol shman, sheshach v'kabal v'hilach v'zar daman shalol shman. So in other words, what I did is I did a machshava of chutzas mano and another machshava as well. It doesn't matter what the other machshava is, but it has to be another machshava, which is a posel. So, for example, either coupled together with a chutz lizmano, I also had in mind chutzim kamo, or to get coupled together with the machshava of chutz lizmano, I also had a machshava of shelo lishman, but specifically shelo lishman of a carbon pesach or carbon chatas, because that disqualifies the carbonus. As we learn in day one of the Masechta, If I have a shalol lishma machshava by any other carbon, like by shlamim, like by an ola, it does not disqualify the carbon. So that's not a machshava saposel. In other words, you have to have another machshava saposel in conjunction with the machshava of chutzes mano, zeh shalol karav hamatir kimitzraso. This is now an example where I did not offer the rest of the avodas correctly, and therefore pigel does not materialize. So it's a bit of an oddity, but the halacha of pigel is that pigel only materializes when pigel and only the machshava of pigel is the only bad machshava that you had during the avoda. If it is coordinated, coupled with any other machshava saposel, like chutzim kamo, or like shalol shmo by carbon chatzis or by a carbon pesach, so then pigel simply does not materialize. Meaning, if I have chutzim kamo coupled with chutzim mano, so because those are two disqualifying machshavas, so therefore it takes away the chutzim mano effect. Meaning, chutzim mano by itself would create a pigel carbon, which means that eating it would be in the sakares. But once I mix together various machshavas, so then it takes away the effect of pigel, the full effect of pigel. The carbon for sure is going to be disqualified, but in other words, pigel will not materialize. When I say not materialize, I mean it won't have the ownership of karis.
So yesterday we had two kazaisim that
combined. Ah, right. In other words, correct. In other words, the two kazaisim that are going to combine are going to be the... Right, that's correct. That was one of Rava's ten halachas. That's very good. Right, the one of Rava's ten halachas is that shemitztarfen zeh and zeh, that they combine one with another.
That was not
really fun. The lechol kezayis chatzis zayis bechutz and chatzis zayis b'machar, meaning that will combine to disqualify the carbon, but pigel, meaning with anister karis, will not take effect. That's an excellent memory. Okay, it's very good. See the lechol, back to the Mishnah. So we are now halfway through the Mishnah, and really, quite frankly, the Mishnah has made one singular point, but still, it's an important point. Meaning that pigel only materializes when pigel and only the machshava of chutzes mano is there, coupled with any other machshava, pigel does not materialize. Lechol kezayis b'chutz, kezayis lamachar, kezayis lamachar, kezayis b'chutz, kechatzi zayis b'chutz, kechatzi zayis lamachar, kechatzi zayis lamachar, kechatzi zayis l'chutz, pasal, ve'im bo karis. Again, the Mishnah is just simply going over other examples of where I'm mitzarif for combining various machshavas together, with eating one kezayis outside and one kezayis tomorrow. By the way, whenever the Mishnah is using the example of tomorrow, the Mishnah is not talking about a shlamim. Obviously, shlamim has a two-day allowance to eat. In other words, to be chutzos mano by shlamim, it has to be on day three. So every time the Mishnah says the word lamachar, it must be talking about a karban that only has a one-day eating period, which would be like a chatos, like an asham, like a karban toda. All right, in other words, various karbanos that only has a one-day allowance of eating. So if I have the Kohen doing the avoda and having a chutzes mano and a chutzim kamo, so then, again, the carbon's going to be disqualified, but there's not going to be karis. Amar Rebbe Yehuda. Okay, and I know that sounds repetitive. I know the Mishnah seems to be making the point again and again. First of all, we'll see what if there's any significance into all these different cases that are stated by the Mishnah. And quite frankly, also, the Mishnah is setting us up for the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. Meaning, because as we're going to see in just a moment, Rebbe Yehuda disagrees. On what point? Amar Rebbe Yehuda. Zaklal. Kol shemachshava hazman kadm lemachshava zamakom, pigol v'chayev malav karis. V'imachshava zamakom kadm lemachshava zman, pasul v'im bo karis. Rebbe Yehuda says like this. If let's say your first machshava was a machshava of chutzes mano, what we would call pigol major. So now, if I have a subsequent chutzes limkomo machshava, that's not going to upset the chutzes mano. Meaning, because you started off with a chutzes mano, it continues to be chutzes mano, even if it's coupled with a chutzim komo machshava. Chutzes mano was your first machshava. And to use a language, which the Gemara itself is going to use a little bit later on, Rashi certainly uses this language, tfos lashon rishon. Meaning you follow the first statement. Since the first statement was chutz lezmano, you've now set the carbon up as a pigel major carbon, which means that the carbon now will become pigel, as long as you do the other four avodos. And even though you have with the subsequent avodos a machshava of chutzim kamo, it's not going to upset the chutz lezmano. Conversely, yes, it is a chiddush, meaning the chachamim don't agree with that. Conversely, if I opened up with a chutzim kamo, and then it was followed subsequently with the chutzim mano, because your first machshava was the chutzim kamo, it remains the chutzim kamo karban, meaning disqualified, but not subject to kares. This is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Now, the Tanakhama obviously disagrees with that. Now, you know the Tanakhama agrees with that, because look at all the cases that the Tanakhama cited, and the Tanakhama clearly did not make any distinction between which occurred first. As long as there are multiple machshavas that occurred during the avoda, so then they collide with one another, they combat with one another, and the result will not be pigel. And it does not, and order does not matter. The Mishnah then brings in the opinion of the Chacham. Chacham Amarim, Zev Zev Pasov Ein Bo Kares. The Chacham are of the opinion that in both of these cases, meaning it doesn't matter which one you start with. You start with the Chutzim Mano, you start with the Chutzim Kamo. As long as you have two Machshavas, so now you have a Tarovis, you have an Erev Machshavas, a combination of various Machshavas, and therefore, Pigel, in its full form, does not materialize. Again, the carbon is going to be disqualified, but there's not going to be kares, and it doesn't matter which one you start with. The obvious question you always ask, is that when the Mishnah sets itself up as a Tanakhama, followed then by a dissenting viewpoint, followed then by a Chachamim that agree with the Tanakhama, the Gemara is not going to ask the question, but the Gemara normally does. Well, what's a Chachamim adding to the opinion of the Tanakhama? Meaning Tanakhama already stated this very clearly. What is the need of the Mishnah now to say, and the Chachamim disagree? Okay, but anyway. Lechol kechatzi zayis lahaktir. Lechol kechatzi zayis lahaktir kechatzi zayis kasher. Sheina achila v'aktar mitstarfin. And finally, the Mishnah tells us one last rule. Let's say that the person has the following intention. Again, as we know, in order for pigel to materialize, it has to be a machshava of chutz zmano, and it has to be in a full kezayis. Let's say the Kohen says like this. A half a kezayis is going to be consumed by me, or again, by whoever the owner of the carbon is. A half a kezayis is going to be consumed outside prescribed time. And a half a kezayis is going to be offered up onto the mizbeach beyond its prescribed time. So now, we know that for the halach of pigel to materialize, you need a full kezayis. Can you combine a half a kezayis of one consumer and a half a kezayis of another consumer? Interestingly, the Mishnah says, no, you cannot. You cannot combine two different consumers. In order for pigel to materialize, you need a kezayis to be consumed, or at least again, the intention of a kezayis to be consumed by one singular consumer, either the mizbeach or the person. But half a kezayis of the two will not combine. Okay. Gemara is going to discuss that at a later point in time. Okay, here we are now, having learned together now, a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. Tanakhama says that once you have Erev Machshavas, once you have various intentions that mix together, so the Tanakhama is of the opinion that pigel does not materialize. In other words, pigel only materializes when it's chutzis mano and only chutzis mano during one of the avodas. Rav Yehuda, as we also know, argues. Rav Yehuda says in the Mishnah, no. In other words, if you're opening Machshavas chutzis mano, even followed by subsequent machshava chutzim kamo, pigel will materialize. Mashenkein, the inverse, the opposite, where it starts, opens up with chutzim kamo and then goes to chutzim mano, pigel will not materialize. That is a machlokus in the Mishnah. That part's clear. Amar ilfa. Starting with the Gemara, machlokus b'shtei avodos. Yes, there's a debate in the Mishnah, but only when the two machshavas are occurring during two different avodas. Ava. However, if let's say the dual machshava that happened by the Kohen occurs during one avoda, according to Ilfa, there is agreement. Agreement to what fact? To the fact that this is now qualifies as Erev Machshavas, which means that we don't get to the point of pigel major. This will not materialize into bona fide pigel if the two machshavas occur during one avoda. Rav Yehuda's position, meaning let's spell out Ilfa's point, Rav Yehuda's position that I follow the first Lashon only when that Machshava occurs at one Avoda, which means that then the carbon now is set up as a pigel carbon. A subsequent Machshava during a subsequent Avoda will not affect it. But if you have those two Machshavas in one Avoda, according to Ilfa, even Rav Yehuda would say, this is a Tarovis. This is a mixture of Machshavos, and as a result of that, the carbon cannot become pigel.
He's saying you're not going to, the first lashon is not going to be tokel.
Correct, correct. In other words, right. You haven't set up the first lashon. Now Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan says no. Af bavoda achas machlokes. Rav Yochanan says no. It doesn't matter according to Rav Yehuda whether the first machshava occurred singularly during one avoda, or you had the first machshava and the second machshava even within one avoda. Still, according to Rav Yochanan will say that Rav Yehuda would still maintain that since you started with a machshava chutzas mano, the carbon now will register as a chutzas mano carbon, meaning pigel major, meaning that it would be subject to the kari's penalty. Now, bishlam al ilfa midereisha b'shtei avodos sefanami b'shtei avodos. Now, from ilfa's standpoint, Mishnah works out very good. Because did you see all the examples in the Mishnah? All the examples in the Mishnah were clearly where the machshavas were occurring during singular avodas. Meaning, if you look at all the first cases of the Mishnah, and there are a lot of cases in the Mishnah, but all of them clearly were, I had one machshava during this avoda, I had another machshava during a subsequent avoda. So in other words, clearly the first cases of the Mishnah were cases of one avoda here, another avoda over there. Meaning in different avodas. And so since the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about in separate avodas, the subsequent end of the Mishnah is also talking about separate avodas as well, and that would seemingly be good like Ilfa. That would read like Ilfa. So, however, Ela Rav Yochanan, Reisha B'Shei Avodas V'Seifa B'Avoda Achas, but according to Rav Yochanan, really that's going to be the symmetry of the Mishnah, where in the first cases of the Mishnah, clearly the machshavas were during individual avodas, and then you read the second half of the Mishnah, and the machlokas of Yehuda and the Chachamim, and now we're moving to a case where you have dual machshavas within one avoda. And the Gemara's answer is for Rav Yochanan, yeah, in top of Lamed Amad Aleph, Reisha B'Shtei Avodas, Seifa Bein Avodah Achas, Bein B'Shtei Avodas. And the Gemara says, look, I'll say in defense of Rav Yochanan, yeah, I know the Mishnah no longer symmetrical, and the Mishnah now is asymmetrical, but okay, doesn't bother me. First cases of the Mishnah are talking about where the multiple avodas occurred during the multiple machshavas. I'm sorry, let's say it better. I'll say it clearer. The multiple machshavas were occurring during individual avodas, and then when we get to the sefer, the end of the Mishnah, and the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, even if I have the multiple machshavas during one avoda, still there's going to be a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Tanan. Let's go back to our Mishnah again. I'm Rav Yehuda, Zeh HaKlal. So look at how Rav Yehuda's formulation of setting up his position. If I have, I'm reading the Mishnah, I'm just translating it. If I have machshavas hazman before machshavas hamakom, it is pigel and you're going to be chayv kares. That's Rav Yehuda's formulation. Now according to Rav Yochanan, it's great. Because when Rav Yehuda opens up with the language of Zeh HaKlal, meaning Rav Yehuda is saying, this is the rule. When you say something like, this is the rule, what you mean to say is, this is always the rule. It doesn't matter whether it's during different avodas or whether it's during the same avoda. As long as the machshavas hazman precedes the machshavas hamakom, so then it is pigel. Because it sets up as you started with zman, and then you move to makom. And seemingly in the Mishnah, it doesn't matter whether those two machshavas occurred during one avoda, or whether it occurred during two avodas. So according to Rav Yochanan, the Mishnah, the language of Zeh HaKlal works out very good according to Rav Yochanan. Ela le'ilfa my Zeh HaKlal kasha. But according to Ilfa, what is Rav Yehuda opening up with Zeh HaKlal? This is the rule. According to Ilfa, it is not a general rule. In fact, according to Ilfa, it's only going to be a rule when you had one machshava during one avoda, and another machshava during another avoda. But according to Ilfa, Even within the sheet of Rav Yehuda, if the two machshavas occur during one avoda, you have erev machshavos, and therefore it's not going to result in pigel. And so therefore, the Mishnah doesn't read well according to Ilfa, and the Gemara notes it. The Gemara simply acknowledges, you're right. In other words, the words that cloud don't work out well for Ilfa. So truth of the matter is that now really, the two points that the Gemara make kind of counterbalance one another. Meaning on one hand, for Ilfa, point for Ilfa is that the symmetry of the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah is clearly talking about Shtei Avodas. The second half is talking about Shtei Avodas as well. And that's a point for Ilfa. Meaning that the Machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are only when the two Machshavas are occurring during two different Avodas. However, there's a point for Rav Yochanan, which is that the language of Rav Yehuda is Zeh HaKlal. Zeh HaKlal would seem to indicate that even when the two Machshavas are occurring during one Avoda, still, you look at what came first. If Chutzos Manu came first, it's Pigel Major. If Chutzim Kamo came first, Pigel Minor. Okay. So the two points of the Gemara really counterbalance one another. Basically, I can learn the Mishnah like Ilfa, I can learn the Mishnah of Rav Yochanan, and there are merits to each of their opinions. Well, first of all, that's not always true. In other words, and on top of that, we have also a principle of Tfos Lashon Rishon, that the first statement is really going to be the more significant. Sometimes, in Nedarim, we saw a bunch of this. And sometimes you do go after the Acharon, but again, there's no one standard rule, and clearly over here, it's not an agreement. It's not a point of agreement. But before we introduce ourselves to the upcoming Mishnah, let's remind each other a little bit of the halachas of Temura. A small introduction. Okay, if you're following Parsha yesterday, if you're following the Sedra, so at the very tail end of Bechukosai, right after the Tochacha, so the Torah gives us a couple more halachas of Kachim, right? So it's a strange structure in terms of how the Torah is set up. Meaning the end of Vayikra, which is really the end of all the halachas of Kachim. So in other words, the Torah ends on Tochacha. So, actually, bracha and tochacha, meaning if you do good, so then things will be good, and if we don't follow the Torah, so then there's a whole, a long list of things that will not go well for us. Okay. And then, at the end of Bechukosai, we just read it yesterday in the Sedra, at the end of Bechukosai, then what do we experience? We experience now just another perek of Hilchos Kachim. Included in that is Meister Behema, included in that also is Halachas of Temura. What is the halach of Temur? We're going to spend an entire Masechta talking about it. The halach of Temur goes like this. If let's say I have a carbon, already set aside as a carbon. Let's say it's a carbon ola. And now I say, I find another animal and I say, you know what? This animal that I set aside as my carbon ola, you know what? I'd rather keep it for myself. But I have another, I'm not going to take away from the Mizbeach. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to simply just exchange the Kedusha from this carbon and simply transfer it over to another animal, and just simply transfer the Kedusha from one to another. Torah says, step number one, the Torah says, lo yimirenu. Don't do that exchange. So first of all, it's a lot. Step number two of the Torah is, v'im heimir, yamir, hu usmur so yeh kodesh. I may not have done a great job quoting the pasuk. Apologies, I don't have a chumash in front of me. But the Torah says that if you attempt to do that, here's a story. Hu usmor so yekodesh. The original animal retains its kedusha, and the animal that you attempted to exchange the kedusha with, that animal will have the same kedusha as well. So in other words, now what you're looking at is the original animal still remaining a carbonola, and the animal that you attempted to exchange it with is also going to be a carbonola as well. And I'll use the joke so many times when we do Masechta Temura, you will be tired of the joke. It's a carbon copy. Okay, thank you. Huh?
You can't keep the first animal.
They're both carbonos. Well, you know, they're both going to be offered. Okay, sorry. Okay, it's gonna happen again. I promise. First one was already hektish. I mean, you already mocked the first animal, and now you're trying to exchange it to and transfer it to another one. Torah says don't do it, and if you do it, they both are going to have kedusha. Who's Murasu Yekodesh? That's the pasuk in the Torah. The Mishnayos and Temura, the Mishnah we're going to learn together is as follows. Again, why the person would be motivated to do this is kind of hard to explain, but that's not what interests me right now. Just right now, interest us is just understanding the Mishnah. Mishnah now is dealing with the following scenario. The person has two karbanos in front of him. One being an ol and the other one's being a shlamim. And now what he's going to try to do is he's going to try to exchange both of the kedushas into one animal. Now, one single animal cannot be an ola and a shlamim. I was going to say physically impossible. Right. In other words, I don't know about physically impossible, but halachically impossible. Meaning an ola and shlamim are two totally different types of karbanos. One totally burned, the other one mostly consumed by you and I, and the kohen. So they're just simply not the same karban. So now, what happens in the event where the person says that this animal over here is going to be temuras ola and temuras shlamim? What then happens? So what then happens is that we have a machlokas in the Mishnah. And tomorrow, in terms of what happens under those circumstances, let's see the Mishnah inside. Tanan Hasam, a Mishnah. The Mishnah reads: Hare zeh temuras ola temuras shlamim. If a person now makes the attempt to exchange both an ola and a shlamim into one singular animal using the process of temura, and again, just as a quick refresher, he shouldn't have done that, but he did. And now, what is the result? Hareza Tumuris Ola Divrei Meir. So a mayor says, well, the animal now is going to be Tumuris Ola. Why? So the simple reason why is because that's the first words that came out of his mouth. The first words that came out of his mouth is Ola. So therefore, it's going to be in exchange for an Ola. Ah, he also said to Mur Shlamim. All right, I'm happy he said to Mur Shlamim. There is no room left in the animal for the Kedusha Karban Shlamim to take effect because the animal now has become an Ola. And so therefore, the animal now has received the Kedusha of the Karban Ola. The animal's a Karban Ola. Rameir says the first animal is an Ola. The exchanged animal is an Ola, period. Amr Rav Yossi, im lakachnas kavin tchila, ho v'iyev shalotsu shtei shemos ba'achas, or I should say better, ke'achas, dvarav kayamim. V'im sha'amar ha'reza t'mur s'ola, v'nimlach v'amar ha'reza t'mur shlamim, ha'reza ola. So, and Rav Yossi says, let's slow all this down. Meaning, clearly this person wanted this animal to be both an ola and a shlamim. And again, how can that be? I'll explain that better in just a moment. How else can he articulate the two? In other words, we have a principle that Shamar v'zachar b'dibor echad. Kadosh Baruch Hu can say two words, even though they're not the same, and he can say them simultaneously. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu has that ability to do that. We, on the other hand, because we're physical entities, we're just limited. And in our limited capacity, we can't say Olan Shlamim at the same time. The person wants to say Olan Shlamim at the same time, but just simply because of physical limitations, we can't do that. What else was he supposed to say? Meaning he wanted this animal to be both an Ola and a Shlamim. So Rav Yossi says that was clearly his intention, so therefore both Kedushas take effect, and the animal will be both. Only in the event where he started off by saying Ola, Tamuris Ola, and then he said, you know what, I changed my mind. I want it to be Tamur Shlamim. Then and only then does the animal an Ola and remains an Ola and doesn't become a Shlamim. Now the Gemara over here doesn't address the issue of Toch De Dibor and whether he has the ability to retract. And it is a separate discussion in of itself in terms of why don't we say Toch Kedei Dibor and why can't he retract? Okay, but again, that's not what is interesting us right now. What's interesting us right now is the idea that Rav Meir says, look, first words that came out of his mouth is Ola. Therefore, the animal is an Ola. And Rav Yossi says, no. He said, Tamur Zola, Tamur Shlomin. He wanted to say both at the same time. He can't do that. But you have to look at what his intention was. His intention was both. Therefore, both. Now, let's address the simple question. An animal can't be both. How do we say that it's both a Tamur Ola and a Tamur Shlamim? So Rashi points out over here, and we're going to see a lot of this when we get to Masechta Temura. So what it means now is that the animal has the Kedusha of both animals. What you're going to do is you're going to let the animal graze, develop a blemish, sell the animal. The proceeds of that sale will be divided. Half the proceeds will go towards an Ola, half of it will go towards the Shlamim. Fine. What right now we're interested in is the following. He's going to have to supplement. Okay? Ibailahu. Hareza tamuris ola v'shlamimahu. Now, let's just change the parameters just a little bit. In other words, the Mishnah Tamur was talking about where he said the tamuris ola and tamur shlamim. Let's just change it oath just a little bit where we take out the second word tamura. And he says tamuris ola v'shlamim mahu. Meaning, Rav Yossi, we know. That's clear. Rav Yossi would say that, well, look, in the case of tamuris ola, tamur shlamim, we look at his intention. Clearly, he wanted both. If he says tamuris ola v'shlamim, it's even better. Clearly, the animal, the exchange animal is going to have both kedushas according to Rav Yossi. We know what Rav Yossi would say. What about Rav Meir? Would Rav Meir agree with Rav Yossi in such a scenario? Meaning, is Rav Meir's position that we only go with the first language because he said tamuris ola, follow them with the words tamur shlamim, but by consolidating and saying tamuris ola v'shlamim, maybe Rav Meir would agree to Rav Yossi. Step two, lichatzos mahu. Let's go even one step further. The way Rashi understands it, this is like a follow-up question. Let's assume then the previous question, Rabbi Meir is not moving. He's not budging. Meaning he said ola first, it's an ola. How about this? How about the guy says chatzos? Meaning I want half of this animal to be tamuris ola. Now, is he not giving away his intention? Meaning clearly he wants F. In fact, he's saying it. So maybe Rav Meir would then agree to Rav Yossi in such a case. Why would we even entertain the idea that he would disagree? Rashi explains, I'll tell you why. Because even though he said half, what happens when half of an animal is Tofes Kedusha? So half of an animal, it's hard to divide an animal into two parts and survive the division. So in other words, we have a principle known as his Pashtus, which means that the Kedusha now spreads to the rest of the animal. And so therefore, we can make the argument, we could still make the argument, it's a hard argument to make, but we could still make the argument that even though he says half the animal should have temuras ola in exchange for a carbon ola, and even though he only said half, but then the kedusha would spread to the rest of the animal. And even in such a case, Rav Meir would still maintain that the animal in its entirety is a carbon ola. So, what would Rav Meir's position be in these kinds of cases? Where either A, he removes the second word, second mention of temura, or B, which is even a bigger question, what if he, from the beginning, from the very onset, says, I want half of it to be temuras ola? Amar Abaye Baha Vade Mod Rav Meir. So Abaye says on the second question, for sure Rav Meir would agree that only half the animal has kedusha. Rava Amar Adaini Machlokas, and Rava says no. It's still going to be a machlokas in such a case as well. Amar Rava L'Abaye L'Ditcha D'Amar T'Baha Vade Mod Rav Meir Hare Shchita D'Lechi L'Chatzo Zamu Pligi. And now Rava says to Abaye, look, I'm right. Meaning, and I'll explain to you why I'm right. Meaning, I know it's more, my position is more difficult to argue, but I'm right, and I'll tell you why I'm right. Because let's take a look at our Mishnah. Meaning, and I know we're comparing the halachas of Temura with the halachas of Erev Machshavos, and I know they're two different areas of halacha, but let's take a look at our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we have a concept of Erev Machshavos, where a person has double Machshavos in one avoda. Now, I know in the beginning of the sugya we had a machlokes between Ilfan and Rav Yochanan, whether they were arguing within one avoda or in two avodas, but for our purposes right now, let's assume that the dual machshava that occurred in our Mishnah is occurring in one avoda. And let's go even one step further. Not only are they arguing within one avoda, but let's talk about the first avoda, which is the avoda of Shechita. Now, the avoda of Shechita, can we slow down the avoda of Shechita for just a moment? The avoda of Shechita is very simple. I mean, not that I've done it, not that I know how to do it, but you take a knife, you run it back and forth against the neck of an animal, and you cut the two pipes of the animal. That's Shechita. Now, when are you having the machshava during Shechita? Now, just as a brief introduction to the next lines of Gemara, we know that there's a constant machlokas that we find throughout Chas, and that is the following. In order to shech properly, you have to cut the majority of both pipes. You have to cut rov of the kana and rov of the veshet. We know that. When do we hit the point of Shechita? When you have finished shechting the majority of both. Now, at what point exactly is the actual Shechita? Now, what I mean by that is as follows. Obviously, in order to do Shechita, you have to cut through the majority of the two pipes. But in terms of when are we calling it Shechita? When does it have the status of Shechita? Meaning, as I'm cutting the first 50% of the pipe, or 50% of both pipes, so that's all kind of like prep work. Meaning, but when do we get to the actual point of Shechita? When I hit the majority of both pipes. Then and only then, that is considered Shechita. Now this, the way the Gemara presents this, the way the Gemara formulates this is, Ein l'shechita ela l'besof. That in terms of the significant point of Shechita, that comes at the end. The end here meaning, when I arrived at the majority of both pipes. Now if I were to take this position, that means, that in terms of having a machshava during Shechita, there's literally a singular moment when I can have a machshava, which is at the end of the act of Shechita. That's one opinion. There is another opinion, which the Gemara also is going to share with us, which is, yesh l'shechita mitzchila v'yatzof. That no, that when I start cutting the pipes, that's not just prep work, that's also part and parcel of the act of Shechita that is significantly considered Shechita, and therefore it could be possible to have a machshava even at the beginning of the act of Shechita. And being that we're talking about the shechting of an animal, in order to shecht an animal, it requires the severing of both pipes. So truth of the matter is, as I'm cutting pipe number one, that would be considered Shechita. As I'm cutting pipe number two, that would also be considered Shechita as well. So there are two opinions throughout the Gemara in terms of Shechita. Either, Ein l'shechita ela besof, that the only significant act of Shechita only comes at the end of the Shechita process, which means that there's only a singular moment where you can have a machshava, or yesh l'shechita mitzchila v'yatzof. That Shechita can go from the beginning to the end of the cutting process. So now let's consider. This is now Rava's argument to Abaye. Rava says to Abaye, look, in our Mishnah we're having an Erev Machshavos. We're having dual Machshavos. At what point is he having the dual Machshava? Shechita. Meaning it could be any one of the Avodas, but let's talk about Shechita. And even in Shechita itself, when can the Machshava occur? So Rava clearly is going to take the position that ein l'shchita ela b'sof, that shchita only comes at the end, which means that there's a singular moment. So now, how many avodas is he, how many machshavas is he having during that singular moment? Two. And yet in our Mishnah, the Mishnah qualifies that as a dual machshava during a singular moment. And now Rava makes his case. Amar Rava, let's see this inside. Amar Abai Bahamod, I'm sorry. Amar Rava Labai Lidit Chadamar Bahavada Modera Meir Hare Shchita Delechila Chatzos Dami Depligi. Look, Shchita is analogous to Chetzi. Meaning in the case of Temura, where the guy said, I want half of it to be an Ola and half of it to be a Shlomen. Now, what would Rav Meir agree in such a case? So Rava says, no, I think Rav Meir would argue. And why do I insist that Rav Meir would argue in such a case? Because it's no better or no worse than our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, when you have a dual machshava in Shechita, so when are you having that machshava? During the one singular moment at the end of the process of Shechita. And yet in our Mishnah, what do we find? A machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. So just like in our Mishnah, we have a machlokus between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, even though you're having a dual machshava at one singular point, so don't you think the same thing should be true in the Temura scenario, where Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, where Rav Meir says, where in the case where the guy's clearly stating, half of it should be Ola, half of it should be Shlomim. Still, Rav is saying, I'm still going to argue that there's a machlokus. Amar lei, so Abai says back to Rav, Misfar, saying, L'shchita l'besof, Yeshon l'shchita mitchil v'yatzof. U'mishnasenu damar simon rishon chutzaz mano, simon sheni chutzim kamo. So, and Abai will counter with the following argument. I fundamentally disagree with you. I think the act of Shechita is not one singular moment. The act of Shechita starts from the beginning, meaning when he first starts cutting away at the neck of the animal, all the way when he gets to the end. Now again, in the Shechita of an animal, that you're cutting two pipes. Since you're cutting two pipes, so it's very possible now to segregate the machshavos. Have one machshava during one pipe, and have a second machshava during another pipe. Now Rashi also points out over here, even within the argument of Abaye, we also have to introduce one other point. And that's as follows. Remember, now we're talking about Pigel. In other words, we're analyzing our Mishnah. Now when we're talking about Pigel, so when do you have the Machshava? While doing a Matir. While doing an Avoda. Right? An Avoda which ends up being a Matir. Now, in Shechita now, as we're looking at it, is not one singular moment, but the act of Shechita is actually the entire act from beginning to end. But ultimately, when all said and done, you have to cut two pipes. Meaning that's the act of Shechita, it's the cutting of two pipes. Cutting one pipe is only half of a matir. Rashi points out over here that in order to engage in this kind of discussion, you must take the position that you could be mefagil bechatzi matir. Even though you are only cutting one pipe and having a machshava during one pipe, and one pipe only represents half of the avoda, but still you can have a machshava even during chatzi matir. So now if we put all this together, Abai's counter argument to Rava is the cases are not analogous. The case of Temura and the case of dual machshavas are not analogous, because even as I'm looking at Shechita, I could subdivide Shechita into cutting of two pipes. Again, the way I'm viewing Shechita is mitchila v'yatzof. And I can have one machshava while cutting one pipe, and a second machshava cutting another pipe. Masha Enke, in the case of Temura, where the person clearly says, I want half of it to be an ola and half of it to be a shlamim, so clearly there, that's one moment in time. And I would argue then that under those circumstances, there's no machlokas. Either there's a machlokas in our Mishnah, because we're able to divide the two actions. The Gemara says, Hare kemitza, delechich lechatzos dami upligi. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about kemitza? And we know, says Rashi, the Gemara Menachos says that with the same machlokas we have here in Zvachim, we're going to have Menachos as well. That if a Kohen has a dual machshava while doing the kemitza of a karban, so again, according to the Chachamim, doesn't matter which one comes first. In other words, if they're dual machshavas, it doesn't result in pigel major. Masha Enkin, Rav Yehuda says, no, it matters which one comes first. If you have the machshava of chutzaz mano first, it registers as chutzaz mano. If you have a machshava of chutzim kamo first, it registers as chutzim kamo. Now, in the kemitza, can you divide that into two separate actions? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara's answer, hasam nami, sheikter kamo tzmincha chutzaz mano, kamo tzavono chutzim kamo. The Gemara says, even by Kemitza, it actually can be subdivided into dual avodas. How? How could you do that? Because generally speaking, by Mincha, Kometz comes in two parts. One, Kemitza of the flour. Two, Kemitza of the Lavona. Most Menachos, we don't know this yet, we haven't covered Menachos in some time, but most Menachos are a composite of flour and Lavona. You sprinkle the Lavona on top. You then collect the Lavona, burn that on the top of the Mizbeach, then take a fistful of the flour and burn that on the top of the Mizbeach as well. So even in the Kemitza of a Mincha, it can be done in two steps. And therefore, we can make the argument over there that you are Mefagel Bechatzi Matir. While doing the Lavona, having one Machshava, while doing the Kemitza of the flour, having another Machshava. Gemara says, still, I'm gonna still push back. Hare Kometz de Minchas Kota de Leka Lavona. So the Gemara says, what about the Kemitza of a Minchas Chote? The Minchas of a Chote does not have Lavona. Subsequently, because it doesn't have Lavona, so it's only one act. And yet there's a Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim over there. So, lo pligi. So the Gemara says, no, you know what I'll argue? I'll argue that in that case, no Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim is only limited to a case where there are dual avodas. Am Ravashi im timsel amar pligi bepsios. You know what Ravashi says? You know what? I can maintain that they're arguing that case over there. Maybe they're not arguing in the case of Kemitza, but they would be arguing in the case of Holacha. Because remember, Holacha is walking towards the Mizbeach. Now, you can have a Machshava during the walking, and let's assume for the purpose of this point of the Gemara that you're going to be taking more than one step. You'll take two steps, three steps. So in other words, you can have one machshava of chutzim mano during one step, another machshava of chutzim kama during a second step. So you can have dual machshavas during dual portions of the avoda. Rav Shimi bar Ashi masni bar Kedah Abaye, Rav Huna bar Nasan masni Kedah Rava. And the Gemara points out that various Amorayim have various brises that either support the position of Abaye or support the position of Rava. Okay, thank you. Ki asa, let's just do a little bit more for today. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar Ameir, Bishitas Rav Yehuda Amart, Damar Tfos Lashem Rishon, did none. Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Dimi says that Rav Meir works within the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Meaning, basically, everything we just said this morning. Remember, Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah said, Tfos Lashem Rishon, that if the Machshav of Chutzim Zmano comes first, even though it's paired with a Chutzim Kamo, it's the animal is Pigel Major. Just like in Temura, where, we learned the Shita of Rav Meir, that if the person says, I raise the Temur's Ola, Temur Shlomim, it first is, because he first said Ola, therefore it's the animal that he tried to exchange is an Ola and only an Ola, not a Shlomim. So Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he says, look, let's put together the Shitas of Rav Meir regarding Temura, together with the Shita of Rav Yehuda regarding Erev Machshavas. Meir b'shitas Rav Yehuda Amra. The Amra tfos lashon rishon. Did not. Amra v'yuda zeh klai mechshav. Ez zman kar mei mechshav. Ez amakom pigo v'chayv malav kareis. So Amra le Abaye. To that. Now the top of Laman Amud Beis. Abaye says, V'ha rabba bar b'chana Amra v'yochanan. Ki magas lu Rav Meir Rav Yosi b'ha de'adah de lo pligi. So the Abaye says, I have the following tradition from Rabba bar b'chana who said in the name of Rav Yochanan that you can actually take Rav Meir Shita. You could put it right alongside Rav Yossi Shita, and there's no debate. To which the Gemara says, really? V'lo pligi v'ha miflek pligi. So the Gemara says, what do you mean there's no debate? Clearly they're debating. Amale pligi b'may de pligi, v'lo pligi b'may de lo pligi. He says, no. yes, it's true. There is a debate. But it's a localized debate. Meaning that they're debating only on the halachas of Temura, but don't now suggest that they're going to go and also debate regarding the issues of Erev Machshavos. How do I know that? The Amar of Yisrael by Yosef, Amar of Yochanan HaKomodim, Hechad Amar, Tachol Zeh V'Achar Kach, Tachol Zeh, Divrei HaKol Lo Chayli. Meaning, look, even in the case of Temura, where the statement was that this should take effect, and afterwards this should take effect. So in that, if that was a formulation by the Temura, so then, different hakol lo chayli. The second carbon is not going to take effect. Meaning, if the person clearly wanted it to be one after another, There is no disagreement. They agree that only the first one takes effect, not the second. So, and lo tachulzeh, ela im kein chalazeh, divrei hakol chayli. And if the formulation was, the only way that this kedusha is going to take effect is only if the other kedusha is going to take effect, then they actually are going to both agree that both kedushas are going to take effect, and they're both going to agree that the exchange animal is going to be both an ola and a shlamim. Ki pligi de amar tamuris ola tamur shlamim. The only debate between them is when you say tamuris ola tamur shlamim. Rav Meir Savar midahavala lamem or tamuris ola vishlamim. Vamar tamuris ola tamur shlamim. Shema minam mehadar kahadar bay. By virtue of the fact that he could have said tamuris ola vishlamim, and he chose to say tamuris ola tamur shlamim, he's trying to retract with the second statement, and under these circumstances, you can't retract. Again, I know, we discussed earlier, what about Toch Kedei Dibor? The Gemara does not accept Toch Kedei Dibor in this context, for reasons which the Gemara doesn't articulate. The Rishonim do speak about it, but we didn't speak about it. Rav Yossi, Iyamar Tumuris Ola Shlamim, Havamina, Paga Tumuris Ola, Paga Tumuris Shlamim. Lahach Yamar Tumuris Ola Tumuris Shlamim, Lamemar Dekula Ola Vekula Shlamim, Havya. And Rav Yochanan And the counter argument to that would be no. The reason why the person said Tamur Sola Vitamur Shlamim is just simply for purposes of clarity. He wants it to be clear that this animal should be a reflection of both karbanos, both an ola and a shlamim. And like we discussed earlier this morning, obviously the exchange animal cannot be both. Obviously, what it means is that the animal will get a blemish, graze, get a blemish, and you'll sell it. But he wants both kedushas to imbue in the animal. So Amar lei, hu amar lo pligi v'an amar pligi. To which Abaye responds, and Abaye says, "Look, I'm sorry. Not Abaye. So the Rav Dimi says back to Abaye, look, you say they don't argue, and I simply disagree with you. Meaning, I'll tell you that they argue in such a case as well. So in other words, I don't necessarily have to agree with your presentation of the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi." And Reb Yossi and Reb Meir vis-a-vis the case of Tamura. In other words, I say that it's a more fundamental debate and not just the limited debate the way you presented it. Okay, let's quickly recap the Gemara for today. In our Mishnah, we talked about where you had dual machshavos. The Chachamim's position is, in the case of dual machshavos, so it does not become pigle, can never become pigle if they're dual machshavos. And according to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter which machshava came first, whether the pigle, whether the chutz zman or chutz kama. Rav Yehuda and Amisha disagrees. Rav Yehuda says that if the chutz zman comes first, so then the animal's chutz zman or chutz kama comes first, the animal's chutz kama, Rav Yehuda says, tfos lashon rishon. Whether or not there's an argument in our Mishnah by shtei avodas or avoda achas, machlokes between Ilfa and Rav Yochanan, support for each position. And then, finally, really the remainder of today's daf is a question of whether or not our Mishnah here in Zvachim, the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, are going to be in alignment with another machlokes between Rav Yosef Rav Meir regarding Tamura, where a person says Tamuris Ola Tamur Shlamim, trying to exchange two karbanos onto one karban. Does the Kedusha of both take effect into this one karban? Rav Yosef says yes. Rav Meir says no. Rav Meir says whatever he says first, that's what it's going to be. Is this machlokas in Tamura going to align with our machlokas here in Zvachim? And that, the Amoraim debate, basically, it is the opinion of some Amoraim that they're in perfect alignment with one another, and other Amoraim disagree. The other Amoraim take the position that the machlokas in Tamura is localized, and not a general discussion of whether or not it's possible or impossible for a animal to have dual kedushas. But that doesn't necessarily reflect onto our Mishnah and our discussions.